Everybody doing all right out there? Are you ready for the word this morning? Amen. As we allow the youth to come in and get seated, we will go ahead and begin. If you have your Bibles, turn to a familiar book, the book of Job. It's spelled like Job, but it's pronounced Job. Just to give you a little backdrop of Job, the scholars really don't know precisely or agree totally on who wrote the book of Job. We do know that Job predates the law. Some scholars believe that he existed around 2100 to 2500 BC, which will put him as Terah's contemporary. Now, if you don't know who Terah is Abraham's father, okay? So Job is possibly that far back in the history of the Bible, amen? Now, we also know that this book predates the Hebrew law because in chapter 42, Job's daughters got the same inheritance as his sons. And during the law, the sons got the blessings from the fathers. The blessing never went to the daughter. So we know that this predated the law. Just giving you a little bit of history, amen? But no matter how far back Job goes, God that we serve is eternity past. The God we serve predates whatever it is. So God is eternity past, eternity present, and eternity future. So our hope is not in a person. Our hope is in none other than a sovereign Lord. And if we could give the book of Job a title or narrative, we can say that Job speaks to the sovereignty of God. It's a book of wisdom, but it hits home the sovereignty of God. Now, what does sovereignty mean? Sovereignty means self-ruled. Sovereignty means that God does not need us to counsel him. He needs no counselor. He decides who to bless, how to bless, how long to bless, and in which way he chooses to bless. And these are the unknown parts of God. So as we get ready to get into the word, I want to talk about a subject entitled, Don't Feed the Bears. Don't feed the bears. Now, if you've ever been camping, or if you've ever been out into the country, you will see signs on campgrounds, don't feed the animals. But in some places where bears are populous, meaning that where bears are plentiful, there are signs that you will find that says, don't feed the bears. And there's a reason why you don't want to feed the bears. And I just want to read as way of introduction why we should never feed bears. For the most part, bears ignore people. Let the church say ignore people. Unless they feel threatened or think you have food. Since they do not naturally associate people with food, they rarely attack for that reason. Bears are in nature afraid of people and prefer to avoid confrontation. Keep that in your mind. However, let the church say, however, after a bear receives food from a human, it loses its instinctive fear of people. The desire for easy food overcomes its fear. Without this built-in fear, the bear approaches people in search for a quick meal. This makes a bear unpredictable, let the church say unpredictable, bold, let the church say bold, and dangerous. Amen. How dangerous do these bears become? Well, deadly. A bear that has eaten food provided by a human approaches people with no fear. Fed bears are aggressive and will kill and even eat humans. Did y'all hear that? When a bear associates food with people, it will enter garbage cans, campsites, picnic areas, cars, and any place people keep food. It will come uninvited, fearless, and hungry. You do not want to get in a tangle with a hungry bear who thinks you have food or you are food. Now, this message is not about a flesh-eating bear, but many of us feed things that we shouldn't feed. Many of us have bears in our lives, and when you go through all kind of stress, oppression, depression, anything you can think of, we have the tendency to feed these emotions. These emotions come to us as cuddly creatures. They come to us to comfort us, and when you feed, it grows. Repeat this after me. What I feed grows. What I feed grows. This is why it is clarion clear that the Bible is what we should feed our spiritual man. When you feed your spiritual man the word of God, he will grow. But if you feed your spiritual man junk, it won't grow. When you feed emotions to your situation, your doubt in God's provision will grow. When you starve those emotions, your disbelief in God dwindles. So we have to be very careful what we feed in our lives. By this time, you should have Job chapter 1. When you have it, say amen. We're going to start at verse 6. We're going to start at verse 6. Are you still with me, saints? You doing all right out there? Amen. Verse 6 reads, "Now there was a day when the sons of God," talking about angelic beings, "came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, 'From where do you come?' Then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From roaming about on the earth and walking around on it.' The Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job, my God? For there is no one like him on earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil.' Then Satan answered the Lord, 'Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the works of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all he has. He will surely curse you to your face.' Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not put forth your hand on him.' So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. Now on the day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, 'The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them, and the Sabians attacked and took them, and they also slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you.' While he was still speaking," let the church say still speaking, "another also came and said, 'The fire of God fell from heaven and burnt up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you.' And while he was still yet speaking, another also came and said, 'The Chaldeans formed three bands and made a raid on the camels and took them and slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you.' And while he was still speaking, another also came and said, 'Your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they died. And I alone have escaped to tell you.' Then Job arose," let the church say arose, "and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshiped." Hold on. Notice, he didn't get up until his family got hit. See, I can lose my car and I can get another car. I could lose my job and fill in a resume and get another job. But when you touch my flesh and blood, that's a type of hurt I can't comprehend. When you touch my family, when you touch my spouse, when you touch my children, that's when something else comes up. They are irreplaceable. This man is serving God. God himself, Elohim, the Almighty God, says that Satan, there's no man on earth like Job. He's blameless, he fears God, and he shuns evil. Repeat this after me. Blameless, fears God, shuns evil. That is the recipe for a righteous life. But that's also a recipe to get attacked. Notice, he didn't say Satan touch him because he's backslidden. He didn't say Satan whip him because he's not following and obeying my commands, my rules and my statutes and precepts. No, he says, Satan, I'm going to give you permission to attack him because he's blameless, because he fears me, and because he walks the other way from evil. You ever heard the term, why do bad things happen to good people? So Job hears that all 10 of his children are killed at one time. He had 10 children. And that's one thing to lose one. I've seen people never come back to their senses because of the loss of a child. Amen? That's a loss I don't want to experience. Can I be honest? I don't want to taste that. But he lost all of them at the same time. He lost all 10. And it was caused by a natural disaster. Are you with me? It says, Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and he worshiped. That doesn't sound like a realistic response. It doesn't say he started cursing. It doesn't say he hit the bottle. It doesn't say he wanted to go crazy. It doesn't say he left the church. It doesn't say he said, God, I'm done. It says he worshiped. This doesn't make sense. This is an extraordinary response from an ordinary man. This is why God said what he said. See, we got to understand this attribute of God. He's omniscient, meaning that he's all-knowing. He knows what his children can handle and what they can't handle. So Satan is not omniscient. As a matter of fact, Satan is not even omnipresent because Satan had to walk to and from the earth. He had to go to one place and go to another place. God doesn't have to move. God knows the hairs on all of our heads by number, by length, and by thickness. That's the God you serve. And when you understand that truth about God, it will give you an understanding why you go through what you go through. Anything that comes to us had to have been approved by the Almighty Sovereign Lord. And if it's not because of a sin, it was because of a conversation. See, some things are brought into our life because of our sin. You reap what you sow. Amen? But if you're getting hit by something and you've been walking with Jesus, you've been talking with Jesus, you sold yourself out for the Lord, and yet all hell is breaking loose in your life, that wasn't necessarily because of sin. That was because of a conversation. And the conversation was, have you considered my servant, Leroy Ricks? Yeah, I consider him. Got a hedge of protection around him. But let me touch. Have you considered my servant, Joan Jackson? Yeah, I consider Sister Jackson. She leads the women of the church, and she loves the Lord, and she helps young ladies grow in the spirit, and she loves her children and grandchildren. But let me touch her body. Let me introduce the C word in her life, cancer. Have you considered my servant Hollis Boone? Yeah, I consider him. But you got a hedge of protection. His wife loves the Lord. She shouts for Jesus. She's teaching the back. But let me touch his health. You see, when you understand that the conversation took place before your problem, it will change how you approach your problems. It will shape how you look at your problems. And you won't feed the bear of suicide. You won't feed the bear of addiction. You won't feed the bear of saying, forget God, I'm done. Because the bear, once you feed it, keeps coming back. And it keeps coming back. And it keeps coming back. And it wants more, and it goes into the campground of your life. It goes into the car of your life. It goes into the trash cans of your life. This bear has an insatiable appetite to destroy each and every one of us if we feed it unbelief, if we feed it doubt, if we feed it pain, if we feed it mistrust, if we feed it. Each and every one of us got a cute, cuddly bear that's waiting for us to feed it our pain. You didn't get that job that you should have got. You were the next man up for it. You didn't get it. I gotta say, Lord, whether I get the job that I know I should have got or not, I know you had a conversation. I know a conversation took place that said, have you considered my son, Dr. Ricks? Yeah, but take that promotion away from him and see if he don't curse your name. Are y'all still with me? If you're with me, say amen. Amen. You mean to tell me when all hell is breaking loose, I'm supposed to worship God? My lights get cut off, I'm supposed to worship God? I got fired from my job. I'm supposed to worship God. My husband left me. My wife left me for another man. I'm supposed to worship God. We can get real, can't we? I'm not supposed to take a baseball bat and bust his windows out and slash his tires. No. But if you feed the bear, you will do that. Y'all not with me? He says, imagine the numbness that overtook him. And all these are coming simultaneously. It wasn't 1 month and he found out this happened, and another month he found out. No, it all came in the same phone call. Hold on, somebody on the other line, let me click over. Oh, yeah, all your 10 of your kids are dead. What? And I'm the only one left to tell you. Whew. He said, naked, I came from my mother's womb. And naked, I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed. Be the name of the Lord. That doesn't make sense. How can you say blessed in a cursed situation? Some of y'all will catch that on the way out. My first point is this. The burdens and brokenness we face may have an unknown origin. You know, we as people, we want to know why things happen. Because the way our logical minds are designed and wired, everything has a genesis or everything has an origin, right? If you see smoke coming through these vents, we know something is on fire somewhere. Because smoke always comes after a flame. But sometimes God will allow smoke to fill your life and you'll never see a fire. Are you with me? And this is what makes us go crazy. What makes us go crazy is when we cannot answer that W question, why? Why did you hurt me? Why did you do this? Why did I get this disease? Why didn't the doctor tell me this earlier? Why did this happen to my family? Why did this happen to my child? And you ask the question why, because there's some semblance of understanding. If I know why, I can handle it a little bit better. But what if you get a situation and there is no why? There is no why for this. There was no cause. There was no cause for this. It just happened. Freak of nature, it just happened. And we go on the rest of our lives searching for something we'll never find. We're searching for why instead of looking at who. Job said, I don't know why this is happening, but I know who's in control. And in the entire 42 chapters of the book of Job, God never tells Job that he was behind it. So this tells us that when we're going through brokenness, when we're going through burdens, sometimes they're going to have an unknown origin. See, we're blessed because we can read the scriptures. So we know that God and Satan had a conversation. Job didn't know any of that, but he knew God enough. See, sometimes you got to know too much about him for people to make you doubt him. And I know I'm not trying to steal that from Sister Maggie, but that's something she says, but there's a lot of truth to that. See, God wants you to focus on getting into a personal, intimate relationship with him, because if you know him, that will overrule when you don't know why. Let me say this again. Y'all didn't catch that. When you take the time to intoxicate yourself with Jesus, then when you're intoxicated by pain, by misunderstanding, by questions, by depression, you don't know why this stuff is happening. You don't know why it keeps happening to you. You don't know. You don't see an answer in sight, because I'm so drunk in the spirit with Jesus Christ, I can understand. I can maintain my integrity. I can maintain my character. I cannot blame God. Because I know too much about him for my bear to make me doubt him. Let's look a little bit further. Verse 22 is the crux of this whole sermon. This is the crux of the whole sermon. He says, through all of this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. Satan's main objective is to get us to charge God foolishly for our scenario. He wants us to point our finger to God and say, God, because you didn't protect me, because you allowed this to happen to my closest kin, because you allowed this to invade my life, my home, I'm no longer going to serve you. What's the use of serving you anymore? I'm out. God said, through all of this, Job didn't sin, nor did he blame God. You can't leave God until you first blame God. Let me say that again. When you see people leave the church, I can automatically attest that they blame God for something. It's automatic. They go hand in hand. You don't leave the house of God for no reason. And they may never disclose to you what that reason was, but I guarantee you, somewhere in the annals of their life, in the back of the back of the back of their mind, they're blaming God for their situation. And because their situation has never changed, because their situation did not improve, they blame God, and then they left the house. Is anybody with me? So we don't always know why things happen. And let me tell us something. Don't be so spiritual that you think you know why people going through what they're going through. When I say spiritual, I was being sarcastic for those who are literal thinkers. Don't be so spiritual that you got the answers to why somebody's suffering the way they're suffering. Suffering is not always because of sin. Suffering, let me say that again. This man suffered because he was blameless. He feared God, and he ran from evil, and he still suffered greatly. So don't be so fast to put your finger on why somebody's going through their what. Did y'all hear what I'm saying? Second point, our emotions will eat away at our destiny if left unchecked. Let me say that again. Our emotions will eat away at our destiny if left unchecked. We are emotional beings. How many Cowboy fans we got in here? Boo. How many Redskins fans we got in here? I don't like y'all either. But you go to a game, you never go to a Cowboys game or a Redskins game, and good God Almighty, don't let them play each other. You're going to have a lot of emotion. But that's a proper place for it. The FedEx Stadium or Cowboys Stadium, whatever they play, it's going to be full of emotion. But the emotion is so the team can win. You ever been to a game where every time a basketball game, the guy's at the foul line for the enemy team, he's trying to shoot a free throw, and the crowd is making all this noise, so he cannot concentrate? See, emotions will block out concentration. Emotions will it will fade concentration out. God wants us to concentrate on him, but our emotions is that noise. Why did this happen to you? Poor thing. Pity party time. Why did you have to take a loss like that? You didn't do anything to nobody. Why did you get overlooked for the 50th time? Is anybody with me? Our emotions will eat away at our destiny. Let me break this down to some street level. A guy has an argument with another guy. The guy said, okay. They get into a fist fight. The guy gets the best of him. The guy who got beat down, couldn't take that whipping like a man, his emotions get the best of him. So he says, I'll be right back. He goes to the trunk of his car, opens up the trunk of his car, pulls up a gun, boom, 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 boom. What just happened? The destiny of the guy who got shot is done. He's dead. Homicide. But the destiny of the guy who pulled the trigger several times because he couldn't control his emotions, his destiny is now the penitentiary for the rest of his life. 75 to 80 years. Emotions are not your friend. That bear that you see right there, that's not the same teddy bears that you see that you sleep with as a pillow. That's a real bear. That's what they really look like. It's not that. But keep that there, brother. Keep that there. See, that brother got a good ministry back there. That's why we need him. That's why we need him. Your emotions will always come to you like this. But go back to the other stage. But it ends up like that. This is why some people married the wrong people because of emotions. Some people dated the wrong people because of emotions. Some people took the wrong jobs because of emotions. Don't allow your emotions to eat away at you and eat away at your destiny. Let me give you an example. Same book, chapter 2, verse 8. Are y'all still with me, saints? Is it making sense? Okay. Verse 2, chapter 2, verse 3. Y'all with me? It says, the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Doesn't that sound familiar? This is a second hit Satan's going to hit him with. For there's no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. God's saying the same exact thing to Satan again. And he still holds fast to his what? Integrity. Although you incite me against him. Oh, my God. Satan wants us to fight God. Satan does not want us to fight him. Let me say that again. Satan wants you, Christian, to fight against your creator. He does not want you to see his hand instigating that fight. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. If you try to fight God, that's an automatic loss for you. Okay? Satan knows that. So he knows that if he can get you so emotional, so detached from reality, you're going to be crazy enough in your intoxication of your pain to do like this to God and say, Lord, forget you. And you're not going to use the word forget. Can I be real? This man lost 10 kids in one day. Huh. That's a pain like no other. The Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? Blameless, upright, fearing God, turning away from evil. And listen to this. Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Uh-oh. Now, Job is already sick with boils and all over his body, and he's in bad shape physically. He's really ill. Yes, all that a man has, he will give for his life. However, put forth your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh. He will curse you to your face. I'm sorry, he took a loss with his children. Now he's about to get hit with his skin. I'm sorry. So the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your power. Only spare his life. Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sores, boils, from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took a pot sheared and scraped himself with it while he was sitting among the ashes. All right, he's in terrible discomfort. Catch this. Then his wife, let the church say wife, said to him, now, this is what happens when you feed the bear now. Do you still hold fast to your integrity? This is wife now. Now, let me say this. If you're married, say amen. No one can talk to a man like his wife can. And no one has permission to talk to her. No one has permission to talk to a man any kind of way but his wife. That's an unwritten rule. Can I get an amen, brothers? That's your wife now. She got freedom. She got certain rights. I'm going somewhere with this. Now, catch this. I never heard this pulled out until the Lord downloaded this into my spirit when I was studying this. Go back up to verse 5. It says, however, put forth your hand and touch his what? His bone and his what? When Adam met Eve, he said, this is the bone of my bone and the flesh of my flesh. When a man finds a wife, he leaveth his mother and father, and he cleaves to his wife, and the two shall become. See, we only look at it as Satan hitting his physical flesh. But we see in verse 9, he hit the bone of his bone and the flesh of his flesh. Y'all ain't catching this. I've studied this thing so many times, I've never seen that before. Because the very bone of his bone, the flesh of his flesh, came to him and said, why in the world do you still serve God the way you do? You still hold fast to what you believe in, man? That is me talking to you. I had 10 children with you. I knew you when you didn't have any money. I was there when you was on your back. Before you became somebody, I was a ride or die. Now, don't be so quick to point your finger at his wife. She just lost 10 of her children. How dare us? Let me say this again. How dare us be so quick to put her in the realm of weakness? No. When Satan hit Job, he automatically hit his wife too. Now, catch this. Man, God was just downloading this stuff for me. Catch this. All right, where do we stop? She said, curse God and what? Okay, evidently we can assume this. Evidently, because again, this predated the law, okay? So evidently, that was basically suicide. When you curse God, it wouldn't be long for God to strike you. She wouldn't have made that statement. Curse God and die. She knew in that time that they were living, that's what you did if you wanted God to take you out of here. But notice, she didn't do it. She told him to do it. No. Catch what I'm saying. She was a woman of faith herself, but she was not touched by the disease that was eating away at her husband. So she said, look, I've come to grips. We've already lost all of our children. Now, I don't want to see you going through this on top of that. I don't want to see you suffer anymore. So go ahead and pull the plug on yourself. Go ahead and turn the ventilation machine off, because I know that you're a man of God. I know that you love the Lord. I know because I married you. Two can't walk together lest they agree. And two can't have 10 children together lest they really agree. No. Catch this. No godly man that God himself says is blameless will pick a wild woman. Oh, y'all gotta catch this. What he's attracted to as a godly man is gonna be godly. So we can already assume that this was a godly woman, because Job wouldn't have picked her to be his wife. So we know she has a lot of faith. We know she loves the Lord. But guess what? Her faith was not as strong as her husband's. Are you with me? Is it making sense? Let's see what Job's response is. Curse your God and die, Job. I can't take this anymore. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Now, he didn't call her a fool. Y'all gotta catch this stuff that I'm trying to. He didn't ever call her a fool. He said, you speak as a fool. See, just because you are saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and going to be with Jesus don't mean you can't act like a unbeliever. Doesn't mean you're an unbeliever, but you can speak as an unbeliever. Y'all walking with me? See, just because a person may steal a pen from the office does not make him a through and through thief. Just because you lie every now and then does not make you a pathologic liar. Are y'all walking with me? See, you can look like something that you're really not. Job was saying, look, you speaking as if you one of these foolish women now. I ain't married no fool now. And we done had 10 children together. You know my stand, and I know your stand. I know you come from good stock. I know you're a God-fearing woman. But pressure can be that great. You can get hit with something so difficult that you will speak outside of who you really are. You will sound totally different than what you've been called to be. You will not sound like a saint. You will not sound like a faithful person. You will not sound like you love the Lord. You will not sound like you're strong, but that's who you are. And Job is saying, baby, that ain't you talking. And let me speak some truth into this pain. He said, I understand what you're saying. But see, baby, it's not about the here and now only. See, I already know when we both die, we're going to be with the Lord. So don't speak like a foolish woman, okay? Catch this. Verse, shall we indeed, now this is heavy here. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? And all this Job did not sin with his lips. Catch this. Not once did Job mention Satan in the entire 42 chapters. Satan was a non-issue to a godly man. Okay, commercial. Satan should be a non-issue to us. When your mind is locked on Jesus, it's you and Jesus. No matter what is breaking loose in your life, no matter what's going on in your life, your conversation should never be with the devil. I don't have time to speak to a demon. I don't have time to speak to Satan. I don't have time to do that because I'm going to take that time and energy to speak to God who sits high and looks low and his hand is not too short that it can't reach down to the muck and miry clay to pull me up in the name of Jesus. I don't need to talk to Satan. It's a waste of my time. We don't need to have no revival trying to talk to Satan. He's already doomed. But when you feed the bear will always take you off the path. The bear will always try to get you to come into the woods. He'll get you to come into the woods. He'll get you to come into the woods. Because he knows when you're in the woods, it's too thick for you to see where you're going. So he'll use, see, Satan is that bear. And Satan will tell you, hey, you never had a good mother. You never had a good father. You was raised in poverty. You was raised this. You was raised that. Nobody loves you. Come on in the woods. You're like, you know what? You're right. Where was God at when this happened? And the whole time he's drawing you into the woods. But see, what you got to understand, a bear has cubs. And the bear feeds its cubs. But the cubs won't come out to attack you because that's the job of Mama Bear. But when Mama Bear destroys you, rips you in half, she will feed her cubs. See, there are cubs that are connected to your problems. There are cubs connected to your emotions. But see, if you keep feeding those emotions, if you keep feeding that depression, you don't understand depression has grandchildren and great-grandbabies, and they're very hungry for you. And Job knew that. He said, I'm not going to allow an illness to get my eyes off of Jesus. I'm not going to allow my loss of my children to get my eyes off of Jesus. I'm not going to allow not getting a job promotion to get my eyes off of Jesus. Are we to only accept the good days from God and not the bad? We need to repent because we always think when bad things happen, it's the devil. No. Job is talking about the sovereignty of God. Yeah, the devil may have been the instrument, but God was the one moving the instrument. He said, hey, when we had those 5,000 oxen, 10 healthy children, each child had their own house, we didn't think about cursing God and die then. But now the thing's not going our way. And we're not eating filet mignon or caviar. We're eating oodles and noodles and some beans and franks. We're going to still praise God just as hard if I'm driving a Bentley or if I've got a bus ticket. I'm still going to praise God. And see, Satan wants us to charge God foolishly because of our condition. But your condition should not determine your conversation with the Creator. The Apostle Paul said, in all circumstances, I've learned how to be content. I've learned how to be content when I had a lot. I learned how to be content when I had nothing. If we base our relationship with Jesus Christ on how smooth our life down here is going, guess what? You got a flaky relationship. Because I'm going to tell you. You can be doing everything right and still not get the job. You can do everything right and still bad things happen to you. You can do everything right and still go through all kind of mess. You can work out like Lee Haney or Arnold Schwarzenegger and still get a bad disease. But what do you do with that? My last point. The first point is that the burdens and brokenness we face may have unknown origins. You may never know why it's coming or where it came from. It just happened. The second point we just talked about is our emotions. Our emotions will eat away at our destiny. Now, had Job cursed God and died, we would have never saw Job chapter 42. Because in Job chapter 42, after God set his friend straight and set Job straight himself, the Bible declares that God gave him 10 more children. Y'all ain't walking with me. He gave him 10 more children with the same woman. Don't tell me God can't bless your marriage. 10 more children with the same wife that lost 10 children, and he doubled everything he had. And not just that, the Bible declares that he lived an additional 140 years after that. So this is where we can say our latter days can be better than our former days. But if you allow your emotions to eat away at your destiny, there will be no latter days. Now, some would assert, yeah, I know he was blessed. I get that. But you can't erase those 10 kids he lost. Now, thank God they didn't have Polaroid portraits back then. They didn't have pictures back then where he can look at those pictures of his kids and start crying again and go into depression. But this hit me this morning when God downloaded this to me as I was studying this. Maybe because Job knew he would see his kids again. He already knew. See, the Bible says, I didn't read all of one. I started at verse 6. But when you go up to verse 1, his kids knew the Lord too. The Bible says Job would get up and confess and burn offerings in case they thought about sinning. So we know his kids knew Jesus. So even though his kids died in this life, he would be reunited with them in the next life. See, when you know all about God that you need to know, yes, you're going to go through bereavement. Yes, you're going to go through grieving. Yes, you're going to get a little taste of depression. I'm not going to ever minimize that. But when you know that 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 the person I lost in this time, I'm going to be reunited with them in glory, it allowed me to have the strength to keep living and keep serving and keep glorifying God. Leads us to our last point. Our attitudes shape how we respond to our attacks. Our attitude. You ever met somebody with a nasty attitude? I mean, just for no reason. Just a nasty attitude. Always have a grimace on their face. Never smile. Always complaining. You know, attitude is everything, saints. See, attitudes don't change your circumstances. It just changed how you walk in those circumstances. Let me give us a biblical example. The three Hebrew boys had a good attitude. See, the Bible says Nebuchadnezzar turned the stove up 7 times hotter than it should have been turned up. And he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I'm going to give y'all one more chance to bow down at this golden image that I have set up. They said, we're not bowing down to you, King Nebuchadnezzar. And this is crazy. They said, our God is able to deliver us from this fire. But if he doesn't, we still not going to bow down to you. Talking about an attitude. What is your attitude if God don't give you what you've been praying for? I'm talking to myself now. Are you still going to say, even if I don't get what I've been grinding for, if I don't get what I've been praying for, if I don't get what I've been pleading for, fasting for, if I still don't get it, I'm still going to serve God. I'm still going to preach his word. I'm still going to teach Sunday school. But see, God looks at our attitude. If you really think about it, when God was talking about Job to Satan, he was only talking about attitudinal components. He says he fears God, that's an attitude. He shuns evil, that's an attitude. And he's blameless, that's an attitude. See, when I have an attitude of gratitude, I'm going to praise God at all times. I'm going to praise God when I don't feel good, and I'm going to praise God when I feel great. I'm going to praise God when I got a little taste of money in my account. I'm going to praise God when it's in the red. It doesn't matter. My attitude, let the church say my attitude. My attitude shapes how I respond to my attacks. There's no doubt about it. Job was attacked. This was not a bad day. He was attacked. You will get attacked. But what will your attitude be when you get attacked? And let me tell you something. I don't always get it right. Can I confess? I just got rejected from a job that I thought I was supposed to have in the bag. This just happened to me last week. And when I got the news, I walked out of my office. I can confess, Candace, because I'm talking about me. I started crying. I went into my truck and sat in a hot truck with the window still rolled up, sweating, crying. And I said this, y'all. Lord, what's the use of me preaching? I said that. Can I confess? I said, Lord, what's the use of me preaching and teaching, trying to serve you, being faithful to my wife? What's the use? Y'all can get quiet and you can laugh. I'm talking about me. Because, see, I got to stand before God by myself. I say, what's the use? The wicked man doing whatever he want to do, he get blessed. He get promoted. How in the world did this happen like this? I called my wife with tears in my eyes. Baby, I ain't get the job. Let me tell us something about a man. How many men we got in the house? Well, y'all slowly raising your hand. Huh? Gosh almighty, y'all thought I said something bad. Let me tell us something. Okay, I'm not going to embarrass you, man. Let me say this. It's not a loaded question. I got you. Don't get scared. But let me say this. A real man, as long as my kids are straight and my wife is good, I don't care about me. That's just me being a man. All right? She can drive the better vehicle. I drive the raggedy vehicle. I don't care. I'm a man. If I got enough to buy my kids a nice meal and I got to eat oodles and noodles, I eat the oodles and noodles with a smile on my face. I drink some Kool-Aid with a smile on my face. While they drink a Pepsi, I drink the Kool-Aid. Okay, with a smile on my face, because it's not about me. Because them being happy, them being taken care of, that's what makes me happy as a man. That's just the way I'm wired. You blame Pastor Ricks for that. That's how he raised me. You understand what I'm saying? A man don't care about, long as y'all are straight, I'm good. See, as long as you guys are good. So when I called my, yeah, I'm saying that for a reason, because when I called my wife, I said, I feel like a failure. I've been in this job for 4 years by myself. I didn't have nobody to compete with, and I still didn't get it. And my wife encouraged me. She picked me up, put my face back together, and said, you go back in that job with a smile on your face. Put your head up high. You didn't fail me. You didn't fail me. I said, but how long is this going to go on? I've earned all these college degrees, $100,000+ of school loan debt, and this was in my hand, and it got taken away. Then I had to go home and tell my daughters, Daddy didn't get the job. And my oldest daughter said, wow, it's like Daddy always getting kicked down. And to hear your kids say that as a man, oh, man. But God was in all of that. And you know what I told my daughters? I said, I always tell y'all, things not going to go your way all the time. And I said, I'm going to bounce back from this. I'm going to bounce back from this. I don't know. I don't know what's going on, but God got something for me. Don't worry about me. I'm all right. I'm all right. I'm all right. I'm all right. But God is sovereign. And see, sovereign don't mean he's going to do everything you want him to do. See, that's why I cannot subscribe to a theology of name it and claim it. Because I can't, it's too many loopholes in that theology. It's too many cracks in that theology. Because God himself said there's no man on earth. Not in Portsmouth. He said earth, like him. So he still had bad stuff happen to him. So I could take a guy that don't even have come to church, don't have, believe in the Lord. He's just naming and claiming, and God just is forced to bless him. That's not theology of the Bible. But my attitude, I said, Lord, what's the use of me preaching? And then I start counting my blessings. Naming them one by one. Count your many blessings to see what God has already done. You see, there was a bear sitting in the passenger side of that truck. And he was cuddling my hand and saying, go ahead, where was God at for you? Where was God for you? And I didn't know I had a grizzly bear. A baby grizzly bear rubbing and soothing me and lying to me and setting me up to get my head bitten off by the realities of life. But when I started counting my blessings, I started saying, I got a good wife. I got beautiful children. They're doing good in school. I got my health. I got my strength. I got a church family. I got a place where I can come and serve the mighty God. I got transportation. I got a house. I got a yard. My mortgage is not behind. Oh my God. I started counting my blessings, saints. See, when you stop counting your blessings, you'll start counting the bears. When you start counting the bears will start counting you out. And when you start counting you out, you'll never count on God. Oh, y'all got to praise his name with me today. See, sometimes God will set you up so he can show you up. See, sometimes when Satan comes, God doesn't share the whole plan with the devil because God is omnipotent. He's omniscient and he's all-knowing. And because of I know who Jesus is, I will praise his holy name. I will give his name from the clay of my lips. I will always have praise on my lips. No matter what I go through, God's in control. Oh my God. No matter what hits me, God's in control. No matter what news come my way, God's in control. And I will be like Job and say, naked I came into this world, and naked I shall return. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's give God some praise, saints. Let's give God some praise, saints. Will you bless the Lord, even though you're surrounded by bears? Will you bless the Lord, even when things don't go your way? Will you bless the Lord anyhow? It's all about your attitude. It's all about your attitude. You see, leave this picture up here, Steve. See, I forgot to tell y'all something. I forgot to tell y'all one thing as I close. I forgot to tell you this. I forgot to tell you this. You see that bear? See how vicious that bear is? There was a shepherd boy named David. And David never fought in Saul's army. And when his older brothers, Eliab and his other brothers, were fighting against this man called Goliath that stood 9 feet 9, David was taking his brother some milk and cheese, and he overheard Goliath running his mouth about the God he served. So David said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine running his mouth?" Goliath said, "You sent a boy out here to do a man's job?" Saul tried to give him all the armor. Saul tried to give him all his resources. But David said, "You're not the resource, you're a source. But I serve the resource." There was one day I was in the pasture and I saw a lion come out of the woods and I slung the lion. But then another day there was a bear. Let the church say there was a bear. A bear came out and this giant would be just like one of them. Let me tell you something today, saints. No matter what you're going through, the giants of your life will be just like that bear. Let us pray. Let us pray. Father God, you are the answer to all our problems. And you are the master of all things. And Lord, I'm rejoicing right now because I know when I stand before you,